Well, in 1970, when I was a student here, there was, on Thursday nights, there was a little group of about 20 people that met just around the fireplace. They used to have a fireplace over there. It's incognito now, I guess, huh? And the building's condemned. It's amazing how things have grown. Good grief. And I hear a lot of people have gone home tonight. You could have fooled me. That from 20 to 25 students sitting around on the floor on Thursday nights, usually for about a 10-minute devotional by a student, to the rooms being filled, and well, how exciting that is. As was mentioned, I did come here in 1965 to 70. I condensed a four-year program into 5 years, and after serving in the Army, I moved to Kansas State University. Now, I did ask God to forgive me when I had to scrape the OU sticker off my car. And that's the one unforgivable sin, by the way. But I am a Wildcat now, although it's very difficult to root against Oklahoma, I must say. The purple at Kansas State still is a little dim when I see the big red. But I'm glad to be here tonight and just appreciate the opportunity. Let me just share with you a few thoughts about the summer. You've already heard a little, and I'm just going to kind of amplify what has been said. To preface it, though, let me share with you about one summer I had in the summer of 1966. After my freshman year in college, I had the opportunity to go to Rocky Mountain National Park up by Estes Park, Colorado. I'm sure many of you have been there. I went up there really excited about spreading my wings, experiencing some things I'd never experienced. I knew that you could buy beer when you were 18 there, and they have a flood of high school and college students that come in to Estes Park in the summer to run the resort ministry, and I happened to be one of those. I went up there working for the National Park Service thinking I was going to be a forest ranger. And my first day there, they put me on the back of a big yellow garbage truck, and that was my summer job. But while I was there, a group of young high school students came up from Denver, a young life group, and they met in the park there at Estes Park and sang folk songs, religious songs, and they went out and shared with people what Christ had meant to them. Well, I'd been a Christian for several years, and I just stood back and thought, good grief, here I've been a Christian for years, and yet Christ was not real to me like he was to these young high school kids. After they got through singing, they went out and shared with people what the Lord meant to them, and they invited me to their little camping place there in one of the parks near Estes Park, and they sat around the campfire and just shared what God had done in their life that day. Things they had prayed for, verses they had learned, and I was just amazed. And I remember going back to my little cabin that overlooked Estes Park and just saying, God, I don't know what it's going to involve, but I give you my whole life, and whatever it takes, I want to be a man of God that you can use, and I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to go and do anything you want me to do. Well, it's interesting that the next year, in 1967, Max came to OU. Now, to make a long story short, we began to spend time together, several fellas, and God began to do a work in my heart as far as future life in working with people and discipling people. But I think the real key to the openness of my own life to what God wanted to do through Max was the summer before. And it's kind of like a farmer cultivating the ground before the seed is dropped in. If there's no cultivation, there's very little crop produced. And gang, let me tell you, a lot of people think that the summer is kind of like King's X. You used to play a tag and when you were young and you always had a doorknob or, you know, an old refrigerator out back or some tree that you could touch, and that's King's X, and you couldn't be it then. Well, a lot of people think the summer is just kind of a place to retreat to. Hey, the summer is really the beginning of the next school year, and you need to see it as such. Don't look at it as kind of the tail end, you collapse, you just kind of mark time. No, The summer is the beginning to what's going to happen in your life next fall. I have a friend. When he was in college, he went away for the summer, and he had been growing tremendously as a Christian for about 2 years. He came to know the Lord in the BSU. And he went away for the summer, and he got involved in old habit patterns. He got loose in his quiet time and his thought life, and it took him at least 9 months to get back to where he had been in May when he left. And that'll happen. It can happen to you. So see the summer not as a time just to passively drift through the 3 months to kind of recover from what you've been doing. Sure, it's a time to do that, to spend some extra time doing other things, but look at it as the beginning of the next 9 months of school, and I think that'll really be a help to you. Now, let me just share with you a few things as you look ahead to the summer. One thing you're going to have to do is to set some objectives. What do you want to see happen as a result of the summer? If you don't plan anything, if you don't think through anything, then you're going to get caught in just drifting through day after day after day. And you know what? There's very few large time blocks like the summer that you have left that you can do with basically and plan something of what you want to. In the years ahead, you're going to have families, you're going to have jobs, you're going to have extra church responsibility, and you're not going to have the week by week opportunities to plan what you want to do. And in fact, for some of you, this may be your last summer to have that much discretion. You may have a couple left. And through all your life, you may look back on the summer as a crucial turning point in your life. You know, Tom Wolfe talks about hinge points in our life, where our life revolves around, like a hinge on a door. And for me, summers have truly been hinge points in my life. And I look back at the summer is the times of real growth. You know, a lot of students think, well, I can't wait till school starts so I can get back and get growing again, get in Bible study and get involved in conferences. No, you know, it's amazing that really our true convictions, our convictions about life and people, so often happen when we're away from the fellowship group. I remember when I was in Vietnam for several months. I didn't particularly want to go there, but I was sent there. But God greatly used it in my life. Why? Because there were no Christians around for 7 months. And I had to choose if I was going to love God or not. You know, our convictions are never determined just by what we say. They're determined by what we do. If you want to know what your convictions are, what the convictions you are standing on today, what have you done? Our convictions are always determined on what we do. And those months I had away were a tremendous opportunity to choose to love God just for who He is, not for the support of the fellowship group or the opportunity to be around lots of Christians and all of that. That's great. But the summer, a lot of times, is an opportunity for you to decide that you're going to love God for who He is. Now, let me suggest one thing to you, is be realistic about the summer. So often we get these huge planning sheets of goal after goal after goal. You know what you can handle in the summer. And you know, it's more fun to live in victory than defeat, isn't it? I know I've set scripture memory goals before and different things and hours of Bible study, and I haven't been able to meet it, and I feel so discouraged. Set goals that you reasonably feel like you can meet that sure will be a challenge to you, but be realistic. Now, here's some possible goals I would suggest. One is have a daily quiet time. I suppose this is probably the lowest common denominator of really walking in fellowship with God. But if you don't decide to do it, a lot of you will quit. You really will. If you're just doing it because your roommate does it or it's kind of the thing to do in the BSU, it's not going to take long for you to quit. And don't take it for granted that you're going to have your quiet time every day of the summer. You need to plan to do that, to choose to do that with your own will. Secondly, let me encourage you to memorize Scripture. Now, when I was, I remember I was in this room sitting about right there in February of 1967, and I heard a message on Scripture memory that just blew me away. I had never heard anything like it before, and God deeply pierced my heart. And I determined then that I wanted to learn Scripture, but I believe it was Max sharing the message. I still have my notes, and he said, you know, and there were at that time there were about 100 people there, and he said, if there are 5 of you still memorizing Scripture after a year, I will consider this meeting a rousing success. And I said, I thought to myself, 5? Man, everybody will be doing it. It's such a great deal. And but you know, a year later, as I looked around the BSU, I counted exactly 5 people that were still memorizing Scripture, because I remembered that. Back then, we handed out little felt packets and 3 little verse cards. And to get more cards, you had to go in and quote your verses perfectly to Max without a mistake. And I mean, I went over those verses 9,000 times. I mean, it was like appearing before the judge or something. And I was so nervous walking in his office. But I don't know if y'all have to do that anymore, but that's how you got more cards back then. But Scripture memory, probably the best investment for the amount of time you spend on it you can make in life. Thirdly, get some Bible study time in. Now, my goal through the last several years in Bible study has been to take one book and get as familiar with it as I can over the summer. It's just kind of a fun thing to do. I kind of break the what I've been doing, and I'll take one book and I'll read it and read it and read it. Sunday afternoons, I like to read through it. I like to do Bible study on it, get a commentary or two, so I can kind of master one book in the Bible during the summer. And that's just been kind of been fun for me to do that. But think about, what are you going to do in Bible study? In fact, I would suggest taking one of the short books. Don't take Acts or, you know, something like that. You may want to do that, but take a short one that you can really master. You know, so often we just have such a surface view of the Bible, and we may know a verse here and there, but we know nothing in depth. And that would be so good if you could come back at the end of August and really have lived your life in Philippians, as God spoke to you, or Colossians, or 1 Thessalonians, or Galatians, where you can just sit down with a friend, even without your Bible, and just talk through it, and share what you've learned, and what you've prayed through. And I'll tell you, you will really enjoy that. And see, that's a reachable goal. Several of the short books just have 4 chapters. You could take a chapter every 3 weeks and totally saturate your life in it. That would be one idea in Bible study. Now, another area I would really encourage you to consider this summer is reading. You know, in fact, I was talking with Max about this several months ago. Students today really seem to be poor readers. They do not read like they used to years past. I don't know why that is exactly. I do know that this generation is the first generation that has been basically raised on television. In years past, TV wasn't all that big a deal 20 years ago or so, and that may be part of it. But even at Kansas State, a lot of the students I meet, I say, well, what are you reading? Well, just my biology book or my chemistry book. And they're not familiar with the great classics that God has used over the years. And I would encourage you, you've got that tremendous bookstore downstairs, to get a biography or 2 or 3 and read it over the summer. My favorites are Hudson Taylor and George Mueller. And I think it would be a tragedy if you left college and were not familiar with their lives. And the summer is a great time to do that. A change of pace, you have some extra time to read and really master their lives. You know, Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men becomes wise. Now, when you are walking through a book with a godly man or woman, you are actually walking through their life with them. And you become wise. You may not be physically walking with them, but you will actually take on wisdom just by reading a book. gang, be good readers. I would so encourage that, and read good biographies. I just recently started reading a new 6-volume set on the life of Hudson Taylor. I wouldn't recommend you starting with that, but you know, it tells when he brewed his tea in the morning and everything. No, it's fairly involved, but start with a good biography. One favorite of mine has been Hudson Taylor and Maria. If you like a good love story, you know, read it before the banquet. But pick up a book or two. I would so encourage that. Now, one other area let me mention, just in practical goals, is the area of prayer. Several years ago, in fact in 1980, I realized that the world just wasn't on my heart. And as was mentioned, the world is, you know, big. And I was wondering what a definition of global was. Now I know, big. And but, and so, as I thought about it, I realized that I was totally ignorant of the world and I did not have a heart for the world. I mean, I really didn't care about the world. So I decided that I was going to pray for one different country a day. So I have this little guide put out by Billy Graham. It has about 4 or 5 sentences on each country in the world. There's about 270 of them. And so I've been going through that since 1980. I occasionally miss a day. I've just finished my 3rd time through the world. And the world is getting on my heart. Why? Because I pray for it. And I've become familiar with countries, reading these little quips about what the missionary activity is in the country, the hardships people face. And God has so blessed that. And you know what I'm finding now? I'm beginning to know people that are in these countries. And the world is just becoming alive. It affects how I look at the newspaper. It affects how I see the news on TV, because I'm investing my life in prayer. Now, you know, I don't know how God is going to put the world on your heart, but I know He wants to. And chances are good, if you do not ever pray for the world, you will not ever have a heart for the world. You just don't automatically take some potion and get on your heart what is on God's heart. You pray for those things and pray them through. And so you might want to spend a week, maybe 1 week of the summer praying for Europe, the next week praying for Africa, or whatever. But to work on your prayer life. You will never regret spending time in prayer. And people I talk with that are older, and I ask them, well, what do you wish you had done more of when you were younger? Just about to a person, they say, I wish I would have spent more time in prayer. Now, you're that younger person. And see, you need to project your life. When you are 40 years old, I'm ever so quickly approaching it. What do you wish you had done? The next 20 years, then you need to begin to do it. And the summer is a tremendous time to do that. Now, secondly, besides some of these practical things I've shared, you're going to have to plan your time. Your time can easily get away from you in the summer, as you all know. Your intentions can be great. You can get it started out great with a summer training program or whatever. And yet it can get away from you. And you can lose it. And you can come back at the end of August totally empty and depleted because you've just pilfered your hours and days away. You know, you've got probably about, 80 days or so before you come back to school at the 1st of June to you get back, 80, 85 days, something like that, and 70, 60, whatever. And, you know, they'll go quickly, ever so quickly. The only one that it won't go quickly for is a person who's getting married about August the 15th, and it'll be a drag. But the summer will go very fast. Most of us get caught up in TV, and that's the real burnout on time. One thing that Sandy and I have done to try to control the TV with our children is to limit them to 5 hours a week, and it has really worked. you know, and 5 hours may seem a lot to a lot of you, but the summer, when your parents have the TV on every night, you can look at 5 hours of TV in one or two evenings, easy. And so have some time planning goals, some scheduling goals. On my Bible study time, the way I used to do it is set aside at least one evening a week, and usually one evening and then Sunday afternoon for Bible study. And I just planned on it, and I didn't go out on that evening and do other things. But I planned on it, and really, when you think about it, let's say you set aside Tuesday evenings for Bible study, that's only about 9 or 10 or 11 sessions through the whole summer. So that's not a whole lot of time. Now, the third thing I want to share with you is go home or wherever you go to be a servant. You know, for many of us, it's kind of like the conquering hero returns home. Your mother has been your slave. Your father has taken care of the yard. And so here you are returning home with your bag of laundry. And it's kind of the idea, here I am. Serve me. You know, there's a song that came out a while back, I am a servant. A lot of us like to say, I need a servant. And so when you go home, be a servant. Look around. What needs to be done? It's a tragedy. It's a blight upon your life if you're not a servant around your home at your age. There are few things that are a greater tragedy than that. And let me encourage you. What needs to be done? What can you do? What can be done? You should, whether it's the bathroom or your bed or whatever, have a standard of excellence in your own home, in your apartment. You know, there's a verse in Mark that says Jesus does all things well. Mark 7:37. And that was the testimony as others observed his life. And that should be the testimony of your life. As you live with your parents this summer, can they say, he or she, they've done all things well. They've kept their room neat. They've helped with the yard. They've occasionally put a dollar worth of gas in the car, whatever. Okay, here's some problems you may face. One, we've mentioned already, getting too busy. Let me encourage you to pray over your commitments. For a lot of you, people are going to want you to do a lot of things, whether it's the church activities, friends, sports, family outings, and all of them are okay. But pray over your time commitments. God, what do you want me to do? God may want you to set aside a lot of time in Bible study this summer. This may be the last summer you have to really give a lot of time, concise time, to study the Word of God. Life continues to get more complicated through the years. And this may be it for you as far as a lot of time in the Word of God. And pray over your commitments. Don't say yes to things easy. Now, the second problem you may face is getting into old habits. Now, there's a lot of old habits that we get into over the summer, aren't there? All of you know. One is fussing with the family. How easy that is to do. You've got a little sister or brother at home, or a grandfather lives with you, or, you know, you hate the neighbor's dog next door or whatever. And you fuss with the family. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And you know, there will be no greater challenge for a lot of you this summer than to have a gentle, loving answer in speech and sharing. And really, you know, we talk about being filled with the Spirit. The real way to evaluate if we're filled with the Spirit is our speech and our attitude around our parents. It's the attitude of restraint, not saying things when we want to lash out or give our way. It's that restraint of sharing in love. A second habit we get into is, again, being waited on by our parents. You be the waiter. You be the servant. Now, a third one that I know probably isn't a problem with any of you is the old habit of sleeping in. And I thought about leaving that out because I know OU students are so industrious. But, you know, sleeping in, which basically ruins your quiet time, by the way, is usually because of two things. One of two things, maybe others, but one of two things. One is because we just have an attitude of being lazy. We're just lazy. We don't want to hit it. We're lazy. The second reason is because we have a poor self-image and we just don't want to face the day. And so we sleep. You know, most people that have trouble sleeping in normally struggle with their self-image. And until they really see themselves as God's beautiful creation, where they can joyfully get up and get going, they're going to always have problems sleeping in. But guard against that. Set your alarm. Know when you need to get up and do it. Now, one other old habit that we can get into is being around friends that will weight us down and be a bad influence around our life. A lot of you are going back into areas where you have some high school chums, and a lot of times we need to be around some of them because they need the Lord. But be careful being pulled down by your friends. I knew a fella that came to know the Lord and was growing so well in the Christian life. He went home, was around some friends that were not Christians, started getting involved in activities, started dating a girl that wasn't a Christian. He came back the next year and he had to get married to this girl because she was pregnant. And it happened so quickly. Gang, be careful who you're around. You know, we're all tempted in different areas. The devil doesn't tempt me to go into Safeway or Walmart or some discount store and steal a Timex watch or steal something. I mean, I'm just never tempted that way. I mean, maybe you are. But the devil does know I have some vulnerabilities, and the summer is a special time for him to work our vulnerabilities. Now, you be a good student of your own life. What are you vulnerable to? And at home, when we go back to our old habit ways of life, you're going to be very vulnerable. And I would encourage you to have some friends that you really trust praying for you in the areas of your vulnerability. Be honest enough and transparent enough and say, hey, I know I'm going to struggle in this area. And you get one or two friends and enlist their prayer and share together that way. But we're very vulnerable over the summer because we have those old patterns. Now, one more problem we may face is just dry time spiritually. There's just something about being at home a lot of times that we're out of our context of growing at school, that the Bible gets dry. I remember for several months I had been going through a very dry time spiritually, and I went to a conference at Fort Worth, and I don't remember anything about the conference except one thing that God spoke to me. And that was that we have our quiet time not to read the Bible through or to say we've done it or write things in our notebook. We read the Bible through and spend time with God because we love Him. And that's our simple motive. And, you know, that totally pulled me out of dry time. I came to my quiet time not trying to get things out of it, but just to enjoy God, to have company with Him. And so when times get dry, that's okay. I mean, that's life. Sometimes you feel great about something, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have great feeling about God, sometimes you don't. But you know you love Him. And so that's the motivation. Now, let me just share this in closing. Time really is short. And as I said, you have very few blocks of time left that you can choose what you want to do. Your life in the years ahead is going to get more complicated. And for many of you, this summer is going to be extremely crucial in discerning God's will and in building those convictions that are going to carry you for a lifetime. See, I would have probably never been open to getting to know Max and what God had to offer through his life when he came in 1967 if I had not got my own act together spiritually the summer before and deciding that I was going to walk with God. I didn't know much how to do it, but I determined in my own heart that I wanted to be different than the rest of the gang. I wanted to really know God. Now, for many of you, God wants to, well, for all of you, God wants to really work in your life this summer. Are you going to allow him to do that, or are you just going to coast? It's your decision. And you are, the summer is that cultivative time, preparing you, equipping you, and really could be the time of real growth. I mean, the school year may just kind of be gravy. The real building of convictions will come this summer. Let's bow in prayer in closing. Would you just decide in your own heart right now that you really want to walk with God this summer? For some of you, you'll be home, and for others, in apartments with friends. It doesn't matter where you're going to be. Some of you will be on missions opportunities. But do you really want to grow in the Lord this summer? To be best friends with him. To go deep in his word. Would you just determine that and tell the Lord that? Heavenly Father, I pray for my life and for each one here that the upcoming summer would be a tremendous time of growth and advancing in your kingdom. Lord, that you'd have the freedom to do in our lives what you really desire to do, such that when the fall comes, you would find in us men and women that are totally available to you, and your kingdom will advance because our hearts have been prepared for all that you want to do. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.